Thank you. I'm sorry. Which will be a shared lecture. First, Krishna Chaitra Maharaj will speak. Maharaj, I thought this is very nice. It is a glorification of Radharani up to maybe here. Maybe you can read. yes, once Krishna.
Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Viti Namite Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Vivishyasa Shunyavadi Paschatya Vishatarine Vancha Karvataru Vyascha Krita
Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bhadu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tata Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Rana. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, quote, "Everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of all rasas. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? Ama hoite jarahoi shatta shatta guna se janna ahladite hare mora mono." One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. Ama hoite guni bara jagate asambhava ekali radhate taha kori anubhava. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in this world, but in Radha alone I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Koti kama jini rupa jajapi amar asamardha madhurja sanjana hijar. Mora rupe apaita hoi tribhuvan radhar darshane mora judai navyan. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eyes. So this is part of the explanation, but you can also say Krishna's reflection on why he wants to appear in the world, not as Krishna, but as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants to experience that love, that special, that emotion of pure love, which is there only in Srimati Radharani, in her Mahabhava. We live in a skeptical age. One might even say a cynical age, when the idea of pure love strikes us as something at best as a fantasy, and perhaps at worst as a joke. And so It is a challenge for us as we hear about the pure love of Radha for Krishna to put aside our skepticism, to put aside our cynicism, and allow the truth, the supreme truth of that love to enter, to allow our hearts to receive that which is true love. One British author of the 19th century gave a definition of cynicism, or a cynic. A cynic is one who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. That's cynicism. So we have that tendency in our present age. We're all affected by that. And so today, we want to set all of that aside. We want to put that cynicism and that skepticism aside and try to appreciate that there really is this reality of pure love, which is the exchange between Radha and Krishna, and which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to demonstrate. And one way that he demonstrates this love is through the voices of his devotees. And one of the devotees that he has this truth of pure love of Radha and Krishna voiced or spoken is through Sri Ramananda Rai. And we may remember that Ramananda Rai, in his identity in Vrindavan, is none other than Vishakha Devi. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Ramananda Rai in South India, it is a meeting of very dear friends. It is none other than Krishna meeting Vishakha Devi. And then in that meeting, they're having conversations which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us went for several days. They met in a secluded place, and they spoke on the subject of all the different subjects of spiritual life over several days. And so what we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita must be a summary of of those discussions. And indeed, since no one was present during that conversation, we may wonder how it is that we have what we do have. Was somebody secretly recording? Was Misho there secretly with his recording devices or what? But we'll leave that question, and I want to give a little bit of this conversation. It's a huge subject, but we want to sort of work our way up toward the very exalted subject which we have today. So please bear with me. Some of this will be, perhaps a bit technical, and you may think also some of it is, yesterday we spoke about Sushka Vairagya. Remember what the word Sushka means?
Dry.
Sukha, right? Yeah, you might think that some of this is a little bit dry. And indeed, this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently felt. Because as Ramananda Rai begins to speak, as we will see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response will be Eho bhakya age kaha ar. That is external. You can continue further than that. You can say something more. We begin at the beginning of this conversation because I find it also very important, very foundational for our understanding of higher things. And so we find Ramananda Roy first quoting a verse from the Vishnu Purana. He says, Varnashrama Charvata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Kanta Nanya Tattosha Karanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashramas. Now, when we hear this, we may think, here we go again. Varna Ashrama. Great idea, but who really cares? But I want to suggest a way of looking at this is, of course, we usually hear the expression Varna Ashrama Dharma, right? And this word Dharma is very important in our tradition. It comes from the notion of holding or upholding, that which sustains. It's that which holds up the world, really. The practice of Dharma is that what keeps the clockwork of the universe rolling. That's the idea. And another idea of Dharma is law. Now, law, we usually think of, law, that's, that has to do with the state and government and all those things we don't like to think about. But if we do think about it for a moment, actually, a lot of our well-being, we may say, the fact that life is going on in a relatively peaceful way, is due to something called law. And indeed, some philosophers of law have suggested that it is actually law that is the beginning of human connection with a notion of transcendence. I won't go into that. That's another big subject. How does that work? Why is that so? But it's an interesting idea to reflect on. And we see that all of our Shastra is very concerned about Dharma, and specifically in the sense of order and law, and what is to be done, what is right, what is not right, all these sorts of things. Okay, well, but, as I say, Lord Chaitanya is going to say, Eho Bahya. This is external. He doesn't reject it. He's not rejecting the statement of Vishnu Purana. But he's reminding us that he, Lord Chaitanya, has come for two purposes, and one of them is external and one is internal. So he says, that's external. I want to get to the internal discussion. And so, Age Kaha Aro, please keep going. And so, Ramananda Roy starts speaking. Well, he's still talking Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Amekam Sharanamrita. Aham Sarva Virya Mokshaishami. Masucha. Wait a minute. He just said we should practice Varnacham Dharma, and now he's saying we should forget about Dharma. So which is it? Well, it's both. It's both and. It's not either or. It's both and. And that is something of the wonderful mystery, the paradox of spiritual life, that there is so much both and. And indeed, in Goloka Vrindavan, this both and is functioning all the time. It keeps everyone lively, this both and paradox. Okay, so then Ramananda Roy goes further. He's talked about, he's moving into Srimad Bhagavatam and he's quoting Lord Brahma, and he's speaking about giving up not only dharma, but also giving up jnana, and just staying situated, stane stita shrutikatam, tanuvang mano vir, ye prayatso jita jito, we can conquer the Lord by just giving up our efforts at speculation and just being situated wherever we are, engaging in service, offering worship to the Lord. That will please the Lord. What does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? He says, hey, how about him? That's external. Keep going. Okay. Yeah. Then, like this, he keeps giving suggestions which are moving forward, you can say, into the sense of what is Krishna interested in personally? And at one point, Ramananda Roy says, neither those engaged in the self-realization of appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service while accepting the Supreme Lord as Master, nor those under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. So all kinds of people are there who think they have a good idea of what is religion, or even what is how to give up religion for something higher, but they still don't understand there are those who are playing with Krishna in Vrindavan. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eho Uttama. Now we're getting somewhere. But Age Kaha Ar, keep going. We say in English, you're on a roll. Keep going, keep going. This is starting to get interesting. Then he says, loving service to the Lord in the parental relationship is the highest perfection. Actually, I jumped a bit. He starts with Dasya Rasa, then Sakya Rasa, then Vatsali Rasa. And like this, he's working through the rasas. He's talking now about relationship. And then he comes to an explanation which I believe is also in teachings to Rupa Goswami. The qualities in the material elements, he's giving an example here, because he wants to talk about the relationship of the different, there's different rasas, five main rasas, Rupa Goswami tells us. And he says, Akashadir gunajena parapara bhute dui tin krame bade pancha prithivite. The qualities in the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth, increase one after another by a gradual process of one, two, and three, and at the last stage in the element earth, all five qualities are completely visible. So, Dasa, Vatsa, Sakya Vatsalya. And I didn't mention Shanta, but all of these together are present in Madhurya Rasa. This is how he's building the case. And then he says, complete attainment of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Rasa, or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. And I want to read Prabhupada's purport here. He says, to explain the topmost quality of conjugal love, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the example of the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. And then he goes on to make that explanation, and then he says, the same can be applied to the rasa known as madhurya, or conjugal love. In conjugal love, there are the qualities of neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, and parental affection, as well as those of conjugal love itself. The conclusion is that through conjugal love, the Lord is completely satisfied. Conjugal love, Madhurya Rasa, is also known as Shringara Rasa. It is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam that in the complete combination of loving service to the Lord, namely in conjugal love, the Supreme Lord fully agrees to be under the control of the devotee. Krishna agrees to be under the control of the devotee, fully. The highest form of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we can see that Krishna is always subjugated by Srimati Radharani's influence. This is the point. Krishna, who is the supreme, powerful Lord, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Lord, that very Lord becomes submissive to Srimati Radharani. And why is that? Asli Shiva Paravratam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahatam Karotuva Yata Tata Va Vidadatu Lampato Matprananatas Tu Saheva. O Lord, you are always my prananata. You are the Lord of my life. There are no conditions to your being the Lord of my life. You can neglect me, you can crush me. Pinantu means to crush. Now again, the cynical minds may come in and say, this sounds like abuse. The Lord abusing his beloved. But we have to hold that, we have to put that aside and understand the purity of Radha's love for Krishna. Matprananata saheva na apara. There's no other than you. So her love for Krishna is exclusive, and because of that, because her love is pure, perfect in all respects, therefore Krishna allows himself to be completely controlled by her. Hare Krishna. And now we will hear some further elaborations, some more directly elaborations.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita
Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe.
Jai Radhe, Jai
Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, for bringing us to the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was actually, and Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy, in this discussion, said to Mahaprabhu, "You are like the musician, and I'm like the instrument. What I say comes from you, actually." And it is in this discussion where Lord Chaitanya indirectly, through the instrument of Ramananda Roy, tells us a little bit of the supreme goddess of Chaitanya Bhakti. In this section from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Maharaj has read to us, there is further on a very interesting shloka. Ama hoite anandita hoye tribhuvana, ama ke anandadhibe aichekon jana. Here, Lord Krishna tells his mind what is deeply inside of him, and he says, "All the world, Tribhuvana means actually all the universe, you know, all the world derives pleasure from me. Now, is there anyone who can give me pleasure?" Actually, Maharaj read this. If you look at the picture of Lord Krishna behind us as he is playing on his flute. It is said that his pleasure potency comes from there and pervades everything, including this universe. That is the reason why all of us have also this ability to experience pleasure. It actually comes from Lord Krishna. Just like the light of this world comes also from Lord Krishna's effulgence. The ability to taste pleasure comes also from Krishna. Now, in opposition to us poor souls who try to find pleasure in a world which is temporary and offers only miserable results in the end, Lord Krishna does not try to enjoy the pleasure potency with objects of this material world. This material world is very tucha, insignificant in relationship to the vastly superior spiritual reality. No, Krishna experiences the full blossom of his pleasure potency in the association of Srimati Radharani. Is there anyone, he asked, who can give me pleasure? And there's a very nice section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's then describing this. Now, if we think a little bit about it, Krishna is so attractive that even a little shadow of his potency makes us in this world totally running after pleasure. Krishna is so attractive that really we hear the description in Vrindavan when he would just, by walking through the forest, disappear for the fraction of a section behind a tree as he was passing there. And his friends were missing him very, very dearly. They thought, oh no, where is he now? Now the world is empty. And Krishna, of course, was immediately there. But Krishna is so attractive that a moment of his absence causes the gopis to abuse the creator Brahma and says, he's such a fool. He doesn't know how to invent and how to increase, to create. He creates eyes which have to blink, and for that moment of the when the eyes close, we are not seeing Krishna. Why has he not equipped us with fish eyes who don't blink, who don't have an eyelid? He's a greatly ignorant person, the creator. So such statements, my dear devotees, as of the cowherd boys of Radha, come from deep absorption, if you don't want to say an obsession, with Krishna's attractive qualities. There is a pastime in the Bhagavatam where Krishna's supremely attractive potencies are described. It's when Mahavishnu, from whom these universes come, makes a trick. He wants to see Krishna. He wants to look at him. He wants to have his darshan right before his eyes because Krishna is that attractive. So he makes a ruse, a trick, something bad. There is a brahmana in Krishna's capital, Dwaraka, and a brahmana tries to have children like some of you do. Finally, he is successful. He's a little elderly, and his wife delivers a child. But just as the child is coming out of her womb, it disappears. The brahmana, the wife, look everywhere. Where is the child? Are these the Chinese who are robbing children for getting the organs out of them and then selling them back to the Americans? What is going on here? Who has stolen the child? Let's try again. So they have a child again. And, immediately upon delivery, a little baby is gone. This is now the second time the brahmana gets very, very disturbed and looks everywhere, but the stolen child or the child who had disappeared can nowhere be found. Okay, let's try a third time. And finally the wife is pregnant, and again she lies down in labor, but immediately upon delivery the child is gone. The Brahmana tries a few more times. Finally he is out of his mind. He runs before the palace of Krishna, where Krishna is talking with Arjuna, and he wails, he howls, he screams, he creates a huge congestion on the palace street, you know, and he pulls his hair and says, "Alas, in what country am I living? This means the ruler is impious. If the children cannot be born properly, they disappear after the birth. The Kshatriya rule of Ugrasena is really Ugra. It's really bad, you know." And he hurls abuses on the government. This is what is also there in modern society. When something goes wrong and no solution can be found, the government is held responsible. That's a normal trait in human society. So Arjuna is there and he listens to this and he says, "This is my duty as a Kshatriya, to uphold order, to uphold the government." He goes outside of the palace and says, "Brahmana, try again. This time I will be there at the time of delivery with my unfailable Gandiva bow, and whatever tantric or magic or unseen David Copperfield comes to steal your babies, I will be there, my Gandiva will be there, and my arrows, my unfailing arrows, will take revenge and give you back your baby." So Arjuna says, "If my words are untrue and I fail, I will enter fire." That means I will commit suicide. Some of you are sleeping. Hare Krishna, wake up. Now an important part comes. You wouldn't like to miss it. Hare Krishna, I know my audience. Arjuna posts himself at the entry of the delivery hall. Yeah, that's very wise, thank you. And he is there and he hears the sound of child delivery and he hears the sound of the baby, but then he hears loud wailing. A child has disappeared again. "What is that?" Arjuna, "I have mystical vision, I can see, but I have not seen anything. I can detect by my Kshatriya sense a target which is unseen by everyone else. I have not seen. What has happened?" "Oh no, I have given a vow." So Krishna comes and says, Wait. Arjuna shouldn't enter the fire because of this. And he smiles. "I know who has done this." But he says to the Brahmana, "Try again." So they have again a child. And again Arjuna is there doing the delivery. And he again has to see that before his super surveillance, you know, it's all the security measures there with his, you know, he knows the the divine weaponry. With all his surveillance, he cannot detect who, what is going on. And the baby again disappears. And now Arjuna says, it's enough. I have failed twice as a Kshatriya. I will enter the fire. I will take my useless life. Krishna says, no, don't do it. I will show you who did it. We will find the babies, all of them, and we will bring them back. Come in my chariot. So he goes with his strong horses. I know one is called Mega Pushpa. And they drive through the whole world to try to find the babies. They are not in the baby. So they, how is it called? They move to the higher planets. They are not there. Krishna drives on the chariot. They come to the layers of the universe. They're very dark, these layers. Mega Pushpa shies and goes up on his rears. Krishna urges his steeds on, and they pass through the layer after layer until they come to that place where the creator, not Brahma, but the one behind Brahma, who of whom Brahma is the instrument, where the Mahapurusha, Lord Mahavishnu, is. It's a beautiful description. You must read it in detail. They see wonders which they have not seen anywhere else in that world of Mahavishnu. Finally, Mahavishnu, they have darshan of Mahavishnu. What does Mahavishnu say? Welcome, welcome. Krishna, I just wanted to see you. I knew you would know that it was me who stole the babies and incinerated all of this, who arranged all this, so that you would have to save your dear devotee Arjuna from entering the fire. And I just wanted to see you because you are Tribhuvana Mohana. You are attracting the three worlds. You are even attracting me. I needed to bathe in your beauty, to see your lotus face, your loving eyes. And now, please take all the children. He delivered all the children into Arjuna's head. Give them to the Brahmana. Thank you very much. It's all right. And the returns. This is pastime which is made a lot of in the Vaishnava or Gaudiya Vaishnava lore. It shows that Krishna is attractive even not only to all the souls of the world who don't know it. They only know the pleasure potency which drives them on, which makes them attractive, but the Krishna is attractive also to his own expansions, even to himself. Still, Krishna, who is Madan Mohan, the one who is attractive even to the God of love, who makes all of the conditioned souls crazy. Even Krishna is attracted by someone who has more attractive qualities than him. He's attracted by Madan Mohan. Who is this? Srimati Radharani, yes. Jiva Goswami describes that King Brishabhanu, the father of Radha, was as glorious as an ocean of milk. He had a son which was precious, like the most precious gem. Despite the vast riches in his country, despite his family, which which was glorious. He attained perfection only when Lakshmi appeared in his house in the form of Sri Radha, who's endowed with an ambrosial effulgence. That very girl manifested the pastimes of her birth 1 year after the appearance of Krishna. One year after Krishna, Srimati Radharani appears in this world. There are many stories of her divine appearance. One is told in the Padma Purana and quoted by Srila Prabhupada. It's very, very intriguing. I have heard this very few times only, and I think you will derive pleasure of it. It describes how Maharaj Brishabhanu was once plowing a field where he wanted to make a yagya. He was going behind the plow. It had a golden plowshare. He was bifurcating the earth, and all of a sudden the plow went bang. It came on a little box, and he opened the box, and inside the box was a girl with a golden effulgence. He was mesmerized by the beauty of this girl, and he took this little divine girl in his hands, and as he took her, he was thrilling with ecstasy. And then he brought this girl to his own wife, Kirtita, and laid it into her and said, "We have received a divine girl by divine arrangement. Not born in the natural way, as we human beings conceive, and but oh, it's a divine gift from above." That little girl is Srimati Radharani, yes, yes. All the devotees in our line know about the glories of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada's father prayed every day that may my boy become a devotee of Srimati Radharani. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his own spiritual master, would sometimes compose a verse or recite a verse about the glories of Srimati Radharani. And as he was quoting it, he was overcome with divine feelings and paled. He became white in his face, and he fell from his seat on the ground, and only after a lot of consolation and attempts was he brought back. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes profusely in his literature about Srimati Radharani. In his songs he says, if you don't worship Radha but you only worship Krishna, your worship of Krishna is absolutely in vain. Raghunath Das Goswami's Narottam Das Thakur, they all talk about Radharani. Because the subject is so confidential, that her name is not even mentioned directly, but only indirectly in the Bhagavatam, we at the same time shy away from talking with our small mouths about a very big subject matter, which may not fit in the mouth and for sure not in our tiny ant-like capabilities of comprehension. But still, on her appearance day, it must be stated that our acharyas place the greatest emphasis on Radharani, that even Lord Krishna, the one whom we worship, is becoming very, very, very subdued by Radharani. He becomes, in a way, lovingly crazed. He hides behind a berry tree all night in order to meet Radharani. He cannot, because the mother-in-law is in between. Krishna takes on disguises to see Srimati Radharani. He comes as a Baba girl. Baba means they can cut not only hair but also nails. And he comes and dressed up as a Baba girl, Baba, you know, haircutter, Frisursky. Girl, and he comes and just to have to see the toenails of Radharani. He announces at the entrance of a house, "I'm first class Baba girl," disguised that Sakis lead him to Radharani, and he comes and looks at her toenails with tears of love in her. In his eyes, very, very, very impressed he is by Radharani. All our devotees feel very much like this, and there is a reason why all of us should feel, should think about Radha. See, we are an energy. It's called Jiva Shakti. And we are female by our constitutional position. You may say, no, I have a bird, I'm a man. Yes, that's your body, you are correct, but that's not you. That's only an illusion which you bring to the Frisursky every day. It is not real, it is a temporary covering of the eternal soul. And it is this soul who needs to find shelter under the divine energy in order to prosper. That divine energy, that supreme energy, is Radha. Krishna is the source of all energy, the Shaktiman, and Radha is the Adi Shakti, the original energy. Like Krishna is like the fire, Radha is like the, how do you say? The rays of the fire. Krishna is like the sun, and Radha is like the sun rays. Krishna is like the musk. It's a certain perfume, and Radha is like the fragrance, the scent, yes. The energy and the energetic are always connected. They belong to each other. You cannot have a source of energy without the energy, and you cannot have an energy without the source of the energy. No? You cannot have a sun or a fire without the rays, and you cannot have the rays of the fire without the fire. Radha and Krishna belong together, but in order to, they are one, but in order to experience pleasure, they come in two. So we as Shakti, as also, we are also meant to serve, we are meant to give pleasure, and we come under the shelter of Radha. Anyone who is not under the shelter of the divine energy will be under the shelter of the what energy? The illusory energy. Yes, you have to make your decision. Do you wish to be under the shelter of the Maya Shakti, the material energy, or do you want to be under the shelter of the divine energy? Lord Krishna speaks about truly evolved souls. He says, Mahatmanas tumam pata devim prakritim na devi prakriti ashrita. Huh? The evolved souls, not the small souls who think there are the body. No? The great souls, they are under the shelter of my Devi Prakriti, my divine energy. They are servants. And this servanthood, or this desperate plea to enter the shelter of the divine energy, this is... yes, please. This is... there's a very nice song. I don't know a good melody for this. I have speculated a melody for this, and I'm not confident to sing before Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, because I'm very, very useless in singing. There's a very nice song. I will say it in English. Maybe I will sing it in English. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur saw his exalted spiritual master the first time, he saw him walking through the land of Navadvip singing this song. Do you remember the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? Gaur Kishordas Babaji. Yes, we have his picture on our altar. We worship, that means we worship him. And he would go and would sing a song which expresses really the desire of the Mahatmas, the souls who have wakened up to come under the shelter of the divine energy. It's a beautiful song, is it? Kota ego prema mayi radhe, radhe radhe radhe, go jai si radhe. Radhe, it means, O Radha, who are full of prema, where are you? Radhe, all glories to you. Radha, give me your darshan and save my life. Your wretched beggar calls out to you, Radhe, Radhe. And he runs through Vrindavan. Are you in Keshigat? Are you in Vangsivat? Are you in Sevakunj? Are you in Syamakunj, Govardhan? He looks for Radharani. Like our six Goswamis who would sing, He Radhe, Brajadevi ke chalalite, He Nanda suno kuta. You know, where is Radharani? Where is Radharani? This is the idea. This Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was seeing it, a saint singing the song, where are you, where are you, where are you? And he was deeply impressed by Gaur Kishordas Babaji, who embodied this very high form of separation from Srimati Radharani. Where are we in relationship to Srimati Radharani? I would say, because some of us are very, usually we have very young devotees in our audience, something which is a takeaway for all of us on Radhastami is that we do understand in a very general way we are servants. We are meant to give pleasure. And once we are entering this servant mood, something very wonderful does happen. We do come under the shelter of another influence. I have seen this in my own life. When I went, for instance, to a festival, I felt out of place. So many new people, I don't know these people. They sing so loud and jump so high. And they eat so much. I'm so different than these people. I could feel this. And it stayed on when I was in, visited the Holy Dham, for instance, in Mayapur, during the festivals. I still remember, oh, I had so much diarrhea from the water. Oh, it was just leaving me. And I couldn't understand the English so well, so I couldn't understand the lectures very good. And I became very mental. But then I remember someone said, do service, you look so mental, you must be from Germany. yes, I can. What is there to do? Please tell me. I will like to not do service and everything will change for you. And I remembered, it was very early in my life, I really thought, oh, I'm here in the Holy Dham, I'm here with the devotees, but I'm mental, I'm in my material moods. How do I get out of this? How do I become a blissful person like all these devotees around me? And then the devotee said, do service. And I remember I did really service. I really, wow, was really taking to it. Somehow I had faith and everything changed for me. Because I came under the shelter no longer of Maya, I exited Maya. Goodbye, Maya. I'm doing now service for Krishna. And I sincerely have seen, my dear devotees, as you enter into the service mood, something feels very blissful. I remember something which my dear God brother Krishna Chetraprabhu said yesterday to me. He said, I wanted to come to your lecture, once I entered the temple, there were so many devotees, and I understood at that time, let me serve these devotees. I want one thing, but let me serve the devotees. And I shared with Maharaj, this is what I always feel in my life. I want one thing, but then if I surrender to service, I feel so blissful. And both of us old men sat on the bench and we were smiling like young people because we shared this with each other. Doing service in the real mood, you know. I am not here to take my pleasure, to make my plan happen. I am here to give service and to the devotees, to Krishna, and so on. And that changes everything, my dear devotees, because you seem to enter, to exit a dark room and enter a bright room, to make it a simple analogy. This, I believe, is a very doable, a very realistic, a very wonderful experience of Srimati Radharani's energy. She herself is a very, very high subject, which we address only with utmost respect. We know our thoughts can't go to that place of the divine rasa field, pastimes. We know our concepts end there. We are afraid of cynicism. Who know? I will remember this. Let me see if I learned from our professor something. On a quote, a cynic knows the price of everything. Yes, everything. The price is tacked on. I have to give. But he does not know the value of not even a single thing. The Radharani is very valuable. It is our greatest treasure, and the service, a direct service of Radharani, is our most kept secret, well kept secret. It is only for few who feel very much attraction to go in this way. But for all of the rest of us, we also can experience Srimati Radharani. We can also experience her presence in our life by exiting the enjoyer mood and entering the servant mood. This verse is there. Mahatmanas tumang pata devim prakritim ashraya shelter. My dear devotees, most of us make one constant mistake. We mistake relief for shelter. It's a huge difference. What is relief? When I'm hungry and I have something to eat, I find relief from hunger. When I'm tired, that I could sleep for 10,000 years and I find a good bed, or when Satchinanda Swami's lecture ends, I find relief. Now I can sleep, you know. When I'm bored, when I'm mental, when I'm miserable and I find a real good friend, I will find relief. But no, you will be hungry again. You will be tired again. And you will be lonely, 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 lonely again. And bored up to you, the last hair on your head. You will be so bored with life. How long are you trying to chase after relief? On the other hand, when you find shelter, that means a loving holding context, you know, then all your needs are definitely taken care of. When you find shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, when you find shelter in the holy name, when you find shelter, then you will be saved. This world is a place you can only survive when you find shelter. You can't survive it when you run for relief, temporary relief measures which you take. So, this day should encourage us to find shelter, to find shelter under the divine energy which is pervaded with service, with the service of Radha and Krishna. I would like to end here. I have many more notes, but there is also a festival coming in the afternoon, and more will come. I wish you all the best. I request you that after the lecture, if you wish, you may go before our altar, you may go and you may pray sincerely, I want shelter. Gokrishna and myself, we were you know, I know Raghunath since a long time. He is the founder of the group Shelter.
We talked about him.
Yesterday we talked about him. And there was one song which they have. It starts with Sangsara Navanara Lida Loka Tranaya Kaduna Gunaganatvam Tasya Gayana Gunaganatvam Vande Guru Shri Charanaravinda, etc., etc. It goes on, and you think, wow, very peaceful. And then all of a sudden, and then he jumps on the stage, then there is a sound of an alarm, you know, do, 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 and then, I need your shelter. and the whole, you know, the people come on the stage, they jump from the stage in profusion. I think Padmakshi has witnessed with his eyes. And then everyone jumps up and down very high and very, wow, you think, they are the medical team. You know, this is soon going out of hands. And I asked him, what is behind your song? It says, Maharaj. Maharaji, I need shelter. I need shelter. And that I thought was very nice. So on the Radhastami, let us pray for the shelter. And those of us who are a little faithful in Radha and Krishna, we can go to, I want the shelter of Srimati Radharani, who is Krishna's dearest beloved, and who can, under her, when she sees me, I want to end with this. Prabhupada glorified her like this. Anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, oh, she becomes so pleased. Oh, she says, here's a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends, oh Krishna, here's a devotee. This is Radharani. I may not be a devotee. I may be a most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Srimati Radharani ki Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Krishna. So what shall we do now? This let us turn to Manditangi. We all fast, no? So we have time. We don't eat. Wow, not even the second generation? They also fast? Hare Krishna. I'm joking. Sorry, I have this very uncanny way of...
Maybe I can just say regarding prasadam, at 12 o'clock we will just have some small prasadam for breaking the fast, but lunch will be at 2 o'clock. So don't worry, there will be more.
Yeah. What do you think? Yes. Maybe it's time for some japa. We will not take questions and answers because the festival is there and we are staying up late and we are talking even later. And then we are... our japa is also there. Let us do japa. I wish you a wonderful festival. Stay with us.